Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody. David Nagel here. Welcome to What's the Truth? Today, my guest, Christina Prewright, on here. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. So let's get into this. What can I help you with today?
Okay, so what is in my life right now that is taking up all my attention is that I own a law firm and I'm not happy owning a law firm, running a law firm, being a lawyer. We've talked about this. It's been a source of dissatisfaction for a really long time. I struggled with figuring out what I wanted to do. And what I really want to do is be a public figure in the sense of being a broadcast journalist or something of that nature. I started a podcast. I really love it. I moved my podcast into a live daily show on Facebook. So now it's Facebook Live every weekday at noon. Okay. And I'm really loving that. And I'm just struggling with how to move that forward. And I think what keeps popping up for me a lot is, why am I still at my law firm? Like, why am I there? I'm scratching my head all the time. Like, why am I there?
I don't know the answer to that. It's fear.
Fear of what?
Look at it like this. You may not like the law firm, but it's no different than anybody that works a job most of their life and complains and bitches about the job that they're working, and yet they stay there. And they know they can quit, but the fear won't let them quit. Because even though they don't like it, they're making enough to survive. Right?
Yes.
So the what if is so big on the other side that you almost can never answer it. So the only thing to do is to quit and go do broadcast journalism or whatever your version of that is in the world, and figure out how to monetize it, how to do it, what you're going to create as you go.
So I guess the fear then is, well, how do I leave what's paying the bills now to go do something else that I don't even know what it is, and how do I pay my bills?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you don't, then it's probably not a good thing to leave in most cases. So here's the thing, Christina, there's two kinds of people in the world. One, when they get their back up against the wall, they come out fighting like crazy, and there's not anything that they can't accomplish. Another type of person is that when the pressure's on, they emotionally collapse and they can't get out of their own way. And neither one is right or wrong, but what's important is that you know which one you are. Like for me, when it came time for me to walk away from my job, I was able to do that because I know that I perform very well under stress. For other people, that's not a good thing to do. So you tell them to do something like that and they're probably shooting themselves in the foot because they're just going to come crumbling down when the pressure gets on. So you have to answer that question: which person are you? And do you know at all how you would make money outside of the law firm? Going in the direction that you want to go, by the way.
I don't know. I mean, I could get a buyout on my firm, so I would have some temporary income. But how I would actually generate my income moving forward from something other than the law firm, that I don't actually know.
Well, so when you say that you want to be a broadcast journalist, what does that look like for you?
Well, I've kind of toyed with it. I think, if you ask me, what job do you want? Whose job do you want? I don't actually know the answer to that question. I've recently become obsessed with Tim Ferriss. I don't know if you follow him.
Yeah, I know who Tim is.
And what I really love about him is he's made a living out of learning, reading, talking to interesting people, investigating, almost like an investigative journalist. And he's making a very good living doing that. I mean, that to me is a luxury. If I could be the female Tim Ferriss, like, that would be amazing.
Well, you know, there's several people that have done that. Joe Rogan does that, right?
I love Joe Rogan.
Joe's great. There's Rich Roll. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, London Real. Like, Brian has done that really great in his own unique way over in the UK. So I think that there's models for it. I think what is very interesting about podcasting is that it's all about your personality and what you bring to bringing in amazing people for people to listen to. You know, what is your twist on it? What's your take on it? And understanding that it's also a business. You know, yeah. And you have to build it. They don't get built overnight, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to be, here's a great thing, because you could continue to run the law firm and really start very, very diligently focusing on building your podcast and really learning what it takes to build it to a place where it's earning you the amount of money that you want to make so that you can actually walk away.
Yeah, that's my plan now. But sometimes I think, well, if I didn't have the law firm distracting me, maybe I would be working a little harder on the other stuff.
Are you not working hard on the other stuff?
No, I am. I mean, I probably at this point, I would say I probably put more time into the podcasting and all that than I do the law firm.
So which person are you? The one that fights with their back up against the wall or comes crashing down?
I think I'm the fighter. I mean, I guess that, I don't know who wouldn't want to be the fighter. I would never want to be the other one. I think I am the fighter. I mean, I grew up in a chaotic environment and I kind of feel like I gravitate towards chaos.
Yeah.
When things get too calm, I'm like, what's going on?
This right.
is comfortable.
There's a lot of people that are like that. And that makes them good in stress situations generally. So here's another thing to look at. A podcast is something that generally takes time to build, right? So you're not going to, I mean, I don't know how much you need to make, but you're not going to make $1 million the first year that you're in it. You know, yeah. Ferriss had the 4-hour work week before he ever started the podcast. Rogan, I don't think, needed to make money with the podcast in the beginning. So he just, you know, did his thing until he learned it. You know, Brian has actually, he has a different model because he uses a business accelerator. So basically what he sells is success coaching, and his format for the world is through the podcast. So it's about how are you going to monetize the podcast and grow it at the same time. So that has to be taken into consideration, because a lot of businesses, if a person knows who their end client or customer is and they have the product or service and they can sell, they could like start right from where they are and start making sales. But generally with a podcast, it's not like that. It takes a time to build a following. The other thing that it takes time is, either it takes time or money to get really good guests on where you're leveraging their following, the people that are really interested in seeing them. So most podcasters that have a big list won't even look at somebody that doesn't have something equivalent. Like, they just won't spend their time there.
Yeah, I've been just writing to celebrities and different people, high profile people. I stalk them on LinkedIn, on Instagram. I think the problem there is a lot of them don't actually read their own messages. So I've been trying to figure out how to get their attention.
Persistence.
Yeah, I'm impatient. That's definitely...
Well, what do you have to offer them that the other 5,000 people that are hitting them up for something don't? That's a question you have to ask.
Yeah, I have to think about that. I mean, there's so many podcasts out there and personalities, and I hate to say it, but in my opinion, a lot of them just aren't very good. Hopefully it's not hubris, but I think mine are good. I think mine are interesting. I think the conversation is engaging.
Well, what determines if it's good is, are you getting followers? Are people listening to it?
Yeah.
So we can think it's good all day long, but if it's not growing, then, you know, it may be good as far as our satisfaction in doing it, but as far as an end result of what we're looking for growth or monetization, it's not proving itself yet.
Well, I think for me, I have a hard time sometimes identifying who's my audience. You know, I think sometimes it's probably people like me, maybe a lot of women, attorneys that are entrepreneurs, maybe people that are interested in personal development and business strategies, because that's largely what I talk about.
But maybe it's also women that are not satisfied with their life right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't articulate that.
Okay. Well, because business strategy is one thing, right? Like that's a whole different genre. But
yeah.
So many people are in a place where they're not satisfied with their life. They're just settling for a life. That if you're bringing on people of influence to discuss that, you know, you probably, if you're good at it, you'll probably have a great following.
That is absolutely what I like to talk about, is why do people stay? And I guess it's kind of like, because somebody said that expression recently, research is me search. You're kind of interested in what applies to you. And I think that's why I do gravitate towards that, because it's always found it interesting how so many people, you know, because you see it all the time, stay in a situation that doesn't make them happy.
For security.
Yeah.
It's 100%. It's two things, security and not being judged by other people. Those are the two biggest things. Those are two biggest reasons why people don't change. It's very uncomfortable to break those two things for individuals. And, you know, if you think about what makes up an individual's, most people's emotional security, it's the people that they have in their life. Doesn't matter if they're healthy or toxic, like we see it all on all sides, and whatever it is that they're doing to support their income in the world, that what supports their sustainability in life. And without those two things, life's a very scary proposition for a lot of people. So to say that I'm going to just put those two things down and go try something different, it takes some serious thought on a person and growth to be able to get to that place where they say, fuck it, I am going to go out there and give it everything that I have and see if I can make this.
Well, you said something interesting one time. You said that people want to know how to get rid of the fear, and you said that you don't ever get rid of the fear. You just move past it.
Well, so what I mean by that is that you don't get rid of the fear first. The fear is a hardwired nervous system response that is designed to keep you safe. It comes from our old reptilian brain. And it gets wired up throughout your whole life as to what's safe, what's not safe. How do I react? How do I respond? What do I see? It's in control of all of that. So if I want to do something where I'm experiencing a lot of fear, about the best I can do is learn how to manage the fear so I can move through it. Because what really gets rid of the fear is when I link up cause, effect, result in my mind based on a new course of action with a new result that I want to get. If I can repeatedly do that, the fear will diminish and eventually go away, because I now know that I can do something completely different and the fear is not real.
So is that the same about what you just said, is the security and worrying about what other people are going to think?
Yeah, because those are two biggest fears that people have.
Okay, so that's all related.
Yep.
So it's hard to recognize that when you're doing it. That's where I do always hear your voice in my head saying, no, is that really true?
Right.
Are those things really true? So I guess I'm trying to figure out what is the real fear that I have.
So we had a private conversation. Just think about that private conversation. The reason that you don't want to do what you said in the private conversation is because of what other people think. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
So you have to acknowledge, like, you have to be radically honest with yourself and be like, okay, what the fuck gives? What is literally going on with me? So that at least if I can understand it, I could start working through that so I can get comfortable with coming out, you know, on the other side. But I'm telling you, what other people think of us is huge. We're raised with the indoctrination of that all of our lives. Even if you had parents that didn't give a shit what other people thought, you still get it from society. So for most people, not everybody, but for most people, it is an issue.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I like to think I'm one of those people that doesn't care, but I think, you know, yeah, of course I care. Maybe I don't care as much as some other person, but right. I probably care more than someone else.
Right, right. The question is, how much do you care so that you're not willing to fall on your face or look foolish in front of other individuals? And I don't mean with stupid stuff, but I mean with like real things that people judge in life, right? So what do people judge? They judge relationship mistakes. They judge substance abuse mistakes. They judge financial mistakes. They judge anything that's perceived that you did a wrong to someone else. And people are really crucified in the court of public opinion over a lot of those things. So anything that falls within the framework of the big value systems that we're raised with can get a lot of criticism if you go against them, or if you attempt, even if you're attempting to do something good and you don't make it, right? Because it, you know, there's a whole idea of who the hell do you think you are, right? I'm sure there's people who'll be listening to this, will be thinking to themselves, what the fuck does she have to worry about? She's a lawyer. She has a law firm and she's not happy. Like she should, you know, count her blessings and wrap it up and that's it. But the idea is that it's about happiness. It's not, I mean, money is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. But if you're not happy with what you're doing to earn money, like there's nothing.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking that very thought when you said it is when I first decided that I really want to be a public personality, I wasn't telling a lot of people that because I didn't want to get the reaction of just stop it. Like, who do you think you are?
I remember when you told me that.
Yeah.
And I asked you doing what? You said you didn't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to rework the Kardashian business model. Yeah, that part's hard is when you're like, okay, I know this is the sort of result I want, but I don't exactly know. Because so many people will say, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? I don't know exactly. Yeah. I want to get paid for my opinion. I want people to care what does Christina Previtt think about that? You know, that book or that product or that, you know, that coach.
So, but you're, okay, so here's the thing. In what you're doing with the podcast, that gives you the ability to do that. But you have to build it.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
I mean, think about when Oprah started, when she had the Oprah show. Basically, she got paid for 25 years for telling other people what to do or suggesting what they do. And then everybody thought about, well, what's Oprah's opinion about this? And that's why her book club was so big and stuff like that. But she didn't start off that way. Nobody cared what she thought when she was a news anchor. She had to build that reputation with people. And you have to do the same thing. You can't shortcut that.
I know. Sometimes I do get a little hung up on my age. I don't know why. I'm 45. And I start to feel like I have to hurry. I'm not young. I'm not 25 starting this.
Well, there is some truth to that, but not from a success standpoint. From how much time you realistically have left, right? The older we get, the more the odds increase that we'll experience something that may prevent us from being able to work, right? We could get ill. We could have a genetic thing that's going on. We could, you know, die. Like nobody knows when we're going to die. So yeah, as you get older, that it does, like there's a sense of urgency that goes through your mind that you don't experience when you're 25. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
But you have plenty of time if you do it. You don't have plenty of time if you're going to procrastinate.
I think it's been evolving because it started out as a radio show. I had a radio show and then I turned it into a podcast and then I felt like that wasn't enough. And then I took my podcast on the road and I started interviewing people out on the road, going to them. And then I started doing it live on Facebook, which I do every day now. And I really love it, but I feel like there's going to be a point where I'm going to be like, okay, I've outgrown this. Like, what's the next thing?
Taking the podcast to the next level, right? So how long have you been doing the podcast?
I want to say maybe it's been a year. Maybe it's been a little less than a year.
Okay. And how's your following growing?
I've had maybe 2,500 downloads on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess isn't terrible, but certainly not getting famous off that or getting a gig on the Today Show with that.
Right. So here's what my suggestion is. Really get clear on what you want the podcast to look like. And then like start it from that place as if the podcast, like say you got 1 million views a day or whatever it was. What would your podcast look like? How would you be on that podcast? How would you show up? What kind of clients would you have? And then begin doing that right now.
Okay.
All I've done with the podcast is to continue to be as consistent as possible and then pay very close attention to what the audience was saying that they want versus what I wanted to do, right? So if I mm-hmm. want to do something, I'll test it and see how it works. Do they like it? Do they not like it? And I'll make adjustments based on that as long as it's something that I want to do. And we have large, consistent growth over the last 2 years, right? Yeah. We're not the biggest, but we're not the smallest either. And it's growing and it's making money and, you know, it's fantastic. It's a great thing. And I really, really love doing it. So, but I'm very consistent with it, Christina. Like it's part of our business model at this point.
Yeah. I feel like when I started going live on Facebook, I kind of lost interest, but neglected the actual podcast itself. It was almost like the Facebook Live show just kind of took the place of the podcast. But it sounds like you think I should consistently do both.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do.
Okay.
Because the other thing that I do is I'm always doing, like I do several a week interviews on other people's podcasts.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that too. I've been a guest on a few podcasts.
You know, and what, you know, a great thing would be like you love Tim Ferriss.
Love him.
Keep pounding his ass until he has you as a guest, right? Go after people that you want to be on their podcast.
Yes. Will you be on my podcast, David?
I'll be on your podcast.
Thank you.
See David. How difficult was that? Wasn't difficult.
This could be my new strategy because I was on Gary Vee's show. You saw me on there. Yeah. And I, at the last minute, I'm like, just ask him. And he said, yes. So this could be my new thing. I could just strategically get on people's Facebook page or whatever, like what you're doing, and then spring it on them.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. But I would, I think you need to have a little patience.
Okay. Yeah.
But I want you to have like responsible patience, right? I don't want to say patience like in a weird way. I think that a solid strategy for what you're building, really run it as a business, really pay attention to what the numbers are telling you, allow for honest feedback, look for where you can grow, and really treat it like a cause and effect business.
Yeah. I went to PodFest in Orlando right before all this COVID stuff happened, and it was really helpful in opening my eyes about how to manage the podcast.
Yeah.
I always hear you saying, you know, you have to give something up, like it could be money or, you know, spending money on something. And so your voice is in my head all the time, David. Like, it's sort of a joke with my friends. I have to tell you this. I always go, you know, do you know what David would say about that? So they're kind of tired of hearing about it, but yeah. So I would love to have you on my podcast.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So will you do that then? Will you treat it like a real business?
Yes.
And really dedicate yourself to it?
Yes.
And I'll bet you like within a year or something, you'd be in a position where you could walk away.
Yes. That makes me happy.
Good deal.
Yes. Thank you, David.
You're very welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.